Hello, welcome to Thunder Moose Commentaries. I'm Gojira84. Hitman isn't here this week. He's just not here. But anyways, this week we're doing the 1956 American version of Gojira, known as Godzilla King of the Monsters here in the US. Directed by Terry O. Morse and Ishiro Honda. We're going to start off I'm going to talk about both versions of the film, how it came to America, who made it come to America, Raymond Burr, and everything else about the movie. So it was made in 1956. Yeah. But anyways, here we go. So I think I found a sync point. It's right when, you know, there's the black screen for a little bit, and there's the and then it fades out to the ocean. Well, right when it fades out to the ocean, pause your DVD. And I will tell you, I will let you do that for a minute, okay? So. You have. The film is 80 minutes long. It's the Americanized version with Raymond Burr, in case you didn't figure that out by now, the one released on DVD in America. I'm using the one on the Gojira 2-disc classic media set. It doesn't come with the Blu-ray, unfortunately, but, I'm going to, talk about the dubbing and all that stuff. I guess it's about time to get us to start, so if you're ready, if you're not, pause, but if you're ready, I will count down. I will say 1, 2, 3, pause, and you will unpause when I say unpause, huh? That's pretty simple, isn't it? But, okay. 1, 2, 3, unpause. Okay. Now the ocean's boiling, and the title pops up. Godzilla, King of the Monsters, explanation mark. So the film, is... originally began with the logo for Transworld, the company that distributed the film in the U.S. Raymond Burr, narrates throughout the film, and, it uses footage from the 1954 film Gojira, but that's the point. It Americanizes the film and makes it acceptable to more American audiences. Japanese scenes were directed by Ishiro Honda. The American scenes were directed by Terry O. Morse Jr. I think. Jr., I don't know. No, Terry O. Morse. Terry O. Morse Jr.'s his son. I don't know why I said that. Sorry. So, it was a success when Gojira came out. They released it to Japanese-American theaters, and, when they released it there for a few months, right before King of the Monsters came out, then American distributors, Transworld, found it, picked it up, added the scenes with Raymond Burr, and, brought it to America. And that's where it got most of its cinematic success. It brought Japanese films to the American public, and along with the films of Akira Kurosawa, really showed what Japan can do with films for the world. The film also stars acting great Takashi Shimura, newcomer Akira Takarada, also newcomer Momoko Kochi, and slightly not as newcomer Akihiko Harada. These parts were actually in the near the end of the film, ironically, in the Japanese version, but this version's told in flashback form. It really runs some of the suspense that was created in the original when it's suspenseful, you know, you really don't know what's going to happen. So they added the scenes with Burr and re-edited the film. Godzilla King of the Monsters was filmed in the full screen 1.33 aspect ratio, but was projected to theaters in the 1.66, I believe, maybe. 1.85. Why was I thinking that? Yeah, it was shown in the 1.85 ratio. And then when they brought it back to Japan later on, it was shown in the 2.35 aspect ratio, ironically, which was the first Toho scope film they had shown, but not really Toho scope. Honestly, it blends in pretty well, the whole cameras and everything. It's pretty well made that he's actually in the movie. You kind of believe it. Of course, they filmed the back of other actors' heads to make it look like Momoko Kochi is standing over him. But she's not really. That's just some random lady. Raymond Burr does a decent job in this movie. I haven't really seen any of his other movies, I've got to admit. But seems like a pretty well actor, I think. This part's weird because she's, well, sitting up in that shot. Here's some where the film goes back in time. Where is he really, his friend? Smoking on an airplane. I don't think you'd really see that as much nowadays. Oh. This is where the film begins, usually in the original Japanese version, in case you didn't know that already. You probably did, but just say. Movie really starts out with a bang here, leaves you with mystery. What happened? Why is that ship sinking? The film did receive a Japanese Best Picture nomination in the original Japanese version, but it lost to Seven Samurai, which is actually pretty expected considering Seven Samurai is number 15 on the IMDb top 250 with an 8.8 out of 10, and Godzilla King of the Monsters just has a 6.7, while Gojira has a 7.3. Gojira really deserves a higher rating. I think the 7.3 I would give to King of the Monsters, but anyways. So, one of the scenes cut out here is, Kimiko and, Ogata, talking together, and it's deleted, which really ruins some of the American, the characterization within the movie. Here's one of the larger sets for the American version, and where he's going through customs in a really small airport. Here's one of the only other American characters added, which is really more than a crude way of translating some of the Japanese dialogue. Go inland, does that mean to go to China or something? Because, you know, Japan's kind of... Oh, whatever. So, yeah. The same thing happened in other movies. The same thing happened to other Japanese movies, actually, the Americanization-wise. Veron the Unbelievable, he was, all the human scenes from it were completely taken out from the 1958 film and replaced with scenes, completely different scenes with completely different actors. Completely changing the plot. Gamera the Giant Monster Gamera, or Daikaiju Gamera, was released in America as Gamera with two M's, the Invincible. All the actors' scenes from the original version are there, but it adds debates with the United Nations and a lot of other cheap scenes added in that really don't serve the plot. Tomo. Momoa was played by Frank Iwanaga, who was also in Call Me a Mister, I Was an American Spy, Go for Broke, Submarine Command, Back at the Front, and Destination Gobi. I have not heard of any of those films. None of them appear to be that major of roles. For all we know, this could have been one of his only slightly supporting roles. I bet all the Japanese Americans working in Hollywood were working on this film at the time. And here we learn that Raymond Burr is absolutely the greatest reporter ever, because he gets in on anything and everything. I mean, if there's something happening, he'll be there. This pretty well matches the Japanese sets, I really have to say. Of course, Raymond Burr pushes through them like crazy. There appears to be an American guy in the far left corner there just a second ago. Huh. Now here's the Japanese footage. Gojira was made in 1954 by Ishiro Honda and written by Shigeru Kayama. It starred Akira Takarada as the main role instead of Raymond Burr, and Raymond Burr was not in the movie. It is like 20 minutes longer. It's 98 minutes, and this King of the Monsters is 80, so yeah, that's like 20 minutes longer. Offering a shorter, more slimmed-down version of the movie. I believe about 40 minutes was removed of Japanese footage from this version, and about, I don't know how much American footage is added, but there's a lot. don't really understand this scene very well. It's kind of good. I mean, is he just talking? Is that really going to help the newspaper? Godzilla King of the Monsters hasn't really been received very well ever since the original Japanese version was released by Classic Media to the US in 2006. Many fans realize that this version isn't superior, even. But that can be told by all these reviews on IMDb taking place after that one was released. Actually, that's what we are undoing. So, yeah. This really streamlines down the movie and shows. See, I believe that's a repeat of that same exact shot. And once again, they crowd back into the room. Yeah. Now, here's introduction of, Imane, played by Takashi Shimura. And he takes, I believe it's in this scene where you can hear the word Gojira said, as this is an earlier scene. A later scene, but shown earlier in the movie, unfortunately. If you were to know Japanese, this scene would be quite weird. Mm-hmm. Not right there. And so is the dubbers, because they obviously didn't dub this. But that really kind of preserves the... preserves the movie. Parts of the movie. Here's our introduction to Odo Island. The Japanese version is a lot slower pace-wise than this also, in many ways. I don't know, I always felt these people were overacting here a little. I don't know, something feels forced about that yelling. Of course, I don't speak their language. How do I know? I want to know how he knows so much about this stuff and he's not even there. Could have made him an unreliable narrator. Well, he is, because he says, Godzilla's one of 400 feet tall when he's really, like, 50 meters. Here's where, they say he dies, but he actually lived. A scene is cut out here that shows, someone talking, a young lady talking to an old man about Godzilla, and if he's real or not, kind of, showing the comparisons between the old and the new days. That really doesn't look like a helicopter wall right there. We don't see Raymond Burr get out of the helicopter. So, yeah. Here's one of the most fake looking Japanese I've ever seen. I don't even know if that's real Japanese. The movie has a 78% rating at Rotten Tomatoes. I believe the original has a higher rating than that. This was actually filmed as a real dance. Here's Raymond Burr staring. He does that a lot in this movie. Be surprised. He, stares. Cause, I mean, he doesn't even really know what he's looking at. They don't do that anymore. Godzilla. Maybe that's the first time we've heard someone say Godzilla. Godzilla. There are some other Asian, American Asians in front of them. This actually kind of blends well in with the other scene. Never noticed the crowd was that big, really. I guess the more you watch a movie, the more times you notice that. Smoking in bed. Never a good idea, especially when you're in a tent. Trust me. Not that I would know. Anyways, mm-hmm. Raymond Burr is a Canadian actor. I'm ironically trying to be an American in this movie. He's really only other known for Rear Window, Perry Mason, and Godzilla. That's what he's remembered for, at least. He also appeared in Godzilla in 1985, reprising the role of Raymond Burr in the American version of that film. Typhoon sequence here is really well done, I have to say. A few miniatures don't look that well, but other than that, it's pretty nice looking. In this scene, a few extra growls were added in the movie, too, which really ruins the mystery aspect of the movie in those ways, where, you know, you feel like it was more of a mystery at first. There's the roar I was talking about. See, there's a lot more growls added. But anyways, I'm Raymond Burr. He appeared in them. Godzilla 1985. He really doesn't have that big of a role. He stays in America the whole time, watching the movie with army generals who are smarting off about footage. Doesn't really add anything at all to the movie whatsoever. It could have been completely without the footage. Of course, Raymond Burr's a lot older. It might actually work slightly if they did something a little more with it. I mean, he doesn't narrate or anything. Also, in its theatrical form and original TV syndication, the main title was followed by credits reading starring Raymond Burr, directed by Terry Morse and I. Honda, in white lettering over a background following the fade out of the final shot. Here's the next scene in the movie. The Prince of King of the Monsters have been the same since, like, the 80s. They've always used them. The VHS prints. I don't know if there's even... Well, I believe there's a 16mm prints around them. Classic Media decided not to use it, but we'll learn about that later. See, there's Shinji, who died earlier. Kind of reminds me of him. Never mind, but anyways. Raymond Burr is able to get into anything, you know? Just, hey, I'm there. Oh, Togashi Shimura's dog voice. Doesn't sound anything like him. It sounds terrible. He mispronounces phenomenon. Phenomenon. Just say it, phenomenon. Small talk. Here comes Dr. Yamane's body double, who is looking at, not even looking at him. What a great actor. Doesn't even really look like him, even the back of the head. The hair seems like it should be wider, and he's not even trying to act. Because phenomenon. almost looks... Anyways, there's a real main character, finally, about to be introduced. We're about 25 minutes in the movie, I think. Not really sure on that. Maybe a little less. Probably a little less. Maybe 24 minutes. Yeah. Well, this one? This set especially appears pretty cheap. Probably small. Oh no, it looks like he's looking out of a telescope. Oh, thanks for ruining the later half of the movie there, Mr. Rare. Snape kills Dumbledore. But anyways, let's go on. We got it's been released on quite a few DVDs, first by Scimitar in 1998, released in a widescreen letterbox and a full frame, which the full frame is actually the OAR. It has an English mono and an English surround. Include art gallery, a documentary, trivia game, Godzilla trailers, linear notes, DVD ROM, screensavers, printable art, websites, all regions. Pretty nice. Then Classic Media released it in 2002 in full frame with a Destroy All Monsters video game trailer. Then it was they re-released it in 2006, included with the Japanese version Gojira in full frame. It included the original TV spot, audio commentary by Steve Reifel and Edgar Wazinski, special guest Terry Morse Jr., and the original credit sequence, but we'll talk about that later. Then it was also released by Toho in 2004 in the Final Box DVD set, an enormous box that had all the Godzilla movies in a giant head. It's like $1,000. It's amazing looking. And by Madman Company in Australia in summer of 2005. Here's Raymond Burr observing stuff he's never seen before again. Oh well, they're getting large doses of radiation dissolved in them. Godzilla was released in Italy in 1976 to Italian audiences. It was shown in an extremely crude form of colorization and included tons of war stock footage and such spliced in throughout the film. Scenes were redubbed re-edited and the film was dubbed in Italian. Copies of the film are extremely rare and in horrible quality. Tracking down a copy should not be that hard with the internet at your disposal. Godzilla. They repeated that shot there, I believe. Here's one of those classic scenes, just classic. Everyone, or most people know, most fans know a scene. Because if you're a fan and you really haven't seen the original Godzilla, that's kind of weird, actually. Father. And you... but anyways, Godzilla was made by Italian director Luigi Cozzi, and here's Godzilla. This scene is great, just the way he pops over the mountain out of nowhere, just roars, and then just goes away. Don't even see him turn around and go away. Gals. Growls some more. He growls a lot. Roars. The roars actually made him by using a contrabass, and a resin glove ran down it with an altered pitch. Pretty creative for Akira Ifukube, one of the great composers. So we're cool. All these scenes I really kind of give a benefit to. Really this film would have been accessible to regular audiences at the time, and most Americans probably wouldn't want to see an all Japanese film 9 years after World War II. Let's go. Kind of has an almost Brooklyn accent. Not really, but kind of. Nah, he doesn't forget that. It's almost like... Blair is almost like a guide through the film, you know? He sees... You see through his point of view, you wouldn't really get the movie if you were just an American at the time. Because, you know, viewers are morons. But nowadays, almost the Japanese version isn't even necessary. I mean, a lot of stuff we watch comes from Japan, even our cars. This, in my opinion, dates King of the Monsters a little bit. Most movie watchers won't go into these kind of details when they watch movies. Guess surely they would only laugh anyways at the film. Phenomenon. Just a terrible dubber. Other ones are decent. The film. It's been rumored Burr filmed all his scenes in 24-hour period, but no one is really sure if this is true or not. It might have just been a few days, two or three. Really don't think he could have done this all in one day, but you never know. Parts of this fire taken out, and it just looks like they burst out for no reason. They were mad because they wanted to know who did what. His acting almost seems kind of wooden right here, I have to say. Good idea. Soda. No. Here's some more scenes. I don't really know where that goes. The sets in this almost remind me of like really small sitcom sets. Here's the only time Sarazawa and his great friend Steve Martin actually talk with each other. Really almost makes you consider if Sarazawa isn't even his friend. This is probably the best body double out of them all. His face is obscured by test tubes, and you really, if you don't look hard, you can almost be convinced that's Akihiko Harada. There's something about the hair, though. Mm-hmm. It is. No, it's not. But really, that also takes out the subplot about that one thing. A lot of people say the arranged marriage subplot is taken out of the film, but it's still there. She even refers to him as a doctor, Serizawa. I think he'd refer to someone by their first name if you were gonna marry him. But yeah. This is the part of the movie where Raymond Burr almost seems to disappear. For a reason or another, and all the Japanese actors take the place. Here's where we get to see the Oxygen Destroyer. The film was produced by Terry Turner and Joseph E. Levine. Levine, he is responsible for bringing the movie Godzilla to the U.S. public. And he is famous for his massive advertising campaign starting with Hercules in 1959. Leaving, he hired Terry Turner and a former RKO exploitation expert at the late 20s and 30s, where he exploited King Kong amongst other films. Their exploitation was designed to appeal both to the general public, but also to the film industry. He died in 1987 in Greenwich, Connecticut. Can't really notice it in the standard definition version, but in the Blu-ray I have, it's a lot more noticeable. The scars below Serizawa's eye patch. Apparently they were going to be heavier in the original, but they lightened down on him a little. You can kind of see a little bit. It's really only noticeable if you're watching in HD or something like that. Oh, excuse me. Gojira was, here's where we hear two different voices come from one person's mouth. Himiko, son. The world must not know of this. I don't really think the dub voices suit the actors for some reason. This is what I meant by she seems Steve Martin seems to disappear from the movie for a while. Take to notice the depth charge sequence, I believe, took place before the meeting between Serizawa and Himiko. So I believe right after that part, Godzilla appeared in Gojira. This is 16mm stark footage from World War II. And Yamane is not happy about this. Not in the least. He is probably pretty mad about this. But scene is a lot better in the Japanese version, where he just says, like, go turn off the lights. He really doesn't say anything, but he sounds like he says a lot. With very little sentence. Sorry, I got a bad cough. But, anyways, here's where everyone gets happy, but, you really can't be happy, you know, when Godzilla's going to attack. The man sitting on the right side of the table there is a young Kenji Sahara, who would, go on to, be in more Godzilla films than any other actor whatsoever. Let's see. Wouldn't you want to get off the boat and not get further into it? Here's the Godzilla theme. It's great. And now Godzilla attacks. Which is, well, so yeah, I don't know why, but it seems like, whenever that right after she couldn't tell Dr. Sarazawa that, Godzilla attacks. And of course those army scenes shown earlier happened later in the movie when they were going to build the high tension wires. Seems weird that the army was already set up here. Oh wait, because this version tells us they came out to get attacked to the thing. The soundtrack for this film is great. I mean, really, you can't, like, it's great. I mean, it's masterful. It's one of my top favorite soundtracks. It's right up there with some of the great soundtracks, you know. Kirifukube is like the John Williams of Japan. This is the first time we really get to see Godzilla out of the water, or not from a forced perspective. We see him. He's huge. He's like 50 meters tall. Well, 400 feet if you count this version. But he's not. But in the Heisei series near the end, when he starts to get really big, he gets to about that size. Because, Tokyo skyscrapers were getting bigger, and, he wasn't getting any bigger, so it looked like he was getting smaller. and The Return of Godzilla, actually all the skyscrapers dwarf over him, which creates a really a beautiful effect, showing them all shadowing over him. Almost makes him scarier. Never noticed that laugh before. Kinda weird. Boom. So this is one of the only Godzilla movies to show Godzilla actually killing people. I believe the only other one would be maybe GMK and I don't know if he did. I think GMK would be the only other one, really. Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monsters, all-out attack. But that's what that means. Yeah, but you probably knew that. You're watching this commentary. His first attack is kind of short, and it almost leaves you to want more. No. Whoa, that was pretty awesome. And for some reason, Raymond Burr is on the same hill. It's the first time we've seen him in about 10 minutes. That's what I meant by that one thing. So, Godzilla movies are heading out on Blu-ray, which is pretty cool now. They've got this movie in Japan, and there's an American release of Gojira also. It's not as good, but it's okay. It got bashed by the Blu-ray critics, but it has more detail than the DVD does, and it's okay. I mean, it doesn't include this version, but that's okay. I haven't really said my opinion on this version. I think it's okay. I mean, it's definitely not as good as the original, but I mean, if you just want to watch a fun little movie, I mean, the original Godzilla, it's a great movie, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of hard to watch. It's kind of slow and stuff. I mean, it's feel great. But this version would be a 3, while the Gojira would be a 5. You know what I mean? In this version, it makes it a little more sensible that they couldn't build a giant electrical fence around Tokyo in a week. Or a few days. And this one, it says they're already surrounded. Sayonara. But yeah, they're being released on Blu-ray, as of now, good. The movies that have been released have been, Godzilla, Godzilla vs. Biollante, Final Wars, Mothra, Rodan, The Return of Godzilla, Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, Isle of Attack. I think that might be the and that's it, I believe, for Godzilla. Hopefully we'll be able to see those soon. Hopefully Sony and such will get off their butts and do it, because you know, hopefully Classic Media will release their other ones too. I'd love to see Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster on Blu-ray, and Mothra vs. Godzilla. There's a lot of quietness before the attack of Godzilla in this one. Really adds a little bit of suspense, actually. This is one of the bigger sets in the American version. And by bigger, I mean it's still small, but better. Raymond Burr really doesn't have a point in the plot. He's just there, kinda. Almost like an action survivor type. I mean, he just gets through. Mm-hmm. the Death March here is wonderful. It really gives you the fury of Godzilla and what he's capable of doing. I think Raymond Burr gives a pretty good speech right here. He seemed cool. And here's where he really starts to stare and sweat a lot. Here's where the music goes a little quieter before the Japanese version does. This is probably one of the best scenes in monster movies. I'll just be quiet a minute. The towers are actually made of wax, by the way. And the tension wires really didn't do much. Here's the first time Godzilla uses his radioactive breath, melts the tension wires. It's really great. And in this movie, Godzilla, he feels big. I mean, he doesn't feel like a guy in a suit. Don't know if that has to do with the black and white, or maybe just the effects are better. I think it's the black and white. Yeah, the music also adds a lot to the movie, I think. Don't know if it would be taken as seriously if it didn't have this great score to it. I apologize if I hum. I really just can't help it. Here comes the fire trucks, which are going to go fight Godzilla, spray him with the water, and hope he dies. The hand puppet used for him is kind of disproportionate to the suit. I think the eyes are bigger on it. Not one of the more convincing effects in the movie. Neither is that one. How did they wreck? They just kind of flipped. Your eyes aren't closed. Here comes the tanks. Boom, boom. I don't know what's up with that netting above. Oh, that's power lines. Now I get it. Wait, that's not power lines. Power lines don't look like that. Well, maybe. There's that puppet again. That looks weird. It doesn't take me out of the movie. Godzilla's flame in this seems different than it does in the other movies. This one, it seems to be a gas almost, lighting just anything on fire. This is probably one of the better parts of the movie where Burr actually helps a little. his narration actually is kind of nice to have. This part's great here where they look up and he's right there. This version's just a fun monster movie. The other one's a dark, serious film, but this is just fun. I mean, there he is. There's the people out the windows. And this is a weird scream. I think that's a cool shot there. It's not convincing, but it just looks cool. Can't help it. Well, it looks like the forest rangers won't be able to prevent those forest fires. Because they got in one. Boom. You know, this is probably one of the better destruction scenes out of any of the Godzilla movies. He just goes crazy on Tokyo. In the other ones, he destroys a few buildings, fights a monster, that's about it most of the time. This one, he just goes all out. I can't really think of any other one of the movies where he goes completely ballistic on the city, just destroying everything and burning it to the ground. In Godzilla 84, he destroys a lot of Shinjuku, but that's about it. He only knocks over one building. He gets a few holes in some, stomps around on people. That's about it. Here's where Raymond Burr starts to sweat a lot. Here's the destruction of the Diet Building. Or at least I think it was. Well, they don't seem to show it in this version. That's weird. In the Japanese version, they at least show the walls. Ah, my foot's asleep. Yeah. Those people really should have been inside. You know, with all the people they evacuated, there's a lot of people there anyways. Guess it's kind of like a hurricane almost. Just like a hurricane almost. Almost seems to be symbolic. This scene, because you can understand it, is a little bit better in the Japanese version. He has really strong teeth. Ah, my foot. Boom. Kind of hard to believe he can see all of Tokyo from that one little office. I didn't really think he could do that. I mean, if I had like an office, I probably couldn't see all of the city. Of course, Tokyo was a lot smaller than it is now. And of course, Raymond Burr doesn't evacuate because he's just awesome like that. Just stares. There's what I believe is the destruction of the Diet Building. Which they should have put in earlier. This is it. Boom. This part's kind of weird because his building seems to be destroyed twice. It's really awkward and kind of takes you out there for a minute. See, it goes down and then it comes back up. Don't know what went wrong there. It happens in the Japanese version too. Almost seems like they tailor-made this shot for the movie. Yeah, there's Godzilla's tail. You can see the string if you look close. I think that's really cool how the mist kind of goes on and wraps up. We will be with your father in just a minute soon, yes. We will be with him very soon. Very dramatic scene there. And, none of the main characters seem to be in danger, you know? Just kinda watch. This part, it almost sounds like Godzilla sneaking around. I know he's going to destroy a bridge. They're kind of staring too, you know. Raymond Burr's not the only starer in this movie. All the miniature effects in this movie are just great. And to think that's real fire back there, they didn't have CGI, you know. Just real smoke and everything. Here comes the airplane attack. Everyone cheers on the airplanes. You can see the strings guiding the airplanes along down there. Fairly noticeable. I wonder if Toho did any wire removal on this movie for the Japanese releases. I don't know, they cost a fortune and I'm not going to buy them unless I really have a lot of money to spend. Of course, I think Yamani's mind has changed by now after he saw all this. It really takes out a lot of character development. The jets don't look that bad when you're not seeing the strings on them. Of course, there are flashing searchlights in case Godzilla flies. Kind of a future reference, isn't it? There are some random screams added. Of course, they're repeating footage here. There's a lot of other special effects added. I mean, not special effects, they wouldn't do that. Lots of them. Extra yells and stuff. So, he just recounted his whole story, to the audience. Looks down at him ago. Did he just sleep through his dream? This scene isn't as dramatic. Ogata's, his, back other person isn't as bad. It's decent. It might be. Or maybe, you know, in the 50-year history, they were all destroyed too, huh? Here we learn the story of the Oxygen Destroyer fully. He learned a new way to debone fish, yay. I hate when you're eating that grilled fish and you get the bones in your teeth. Great to know. Yeah. no larger than a baseball. That was like a grape. Of course, the dialogue is saved yet again. And if they wanted to restore the Japanese version, they could have used parts of the King of the Monsters print, because it's obviously in better condition. I don't think Godzilla would have become as famous if it wasn't for this film. Got a lot for granted. I don't think there would have been even 28. That was a pretty fast transition there. The scene has music added in it, I believe. Yeah, Yamiko's voice sounds a little too old for her, I think. There was Ogata's American voice. It's really great how you don't see this fight on screen. Just shows the fish tank. Really shows Ishiro Honda's directing abilities, which were sadly restricted throughout most of his career just to monster movies. And limited budgets and shorter time. I'm sure if he had more money, he could do amazing things. Of course, he did do amazing things, but I don't think it was what he could definitely do. Really takes out the parts of him being concerned it will be turned into another atomic bomb. And his suicide, spoiler alert, is definitely more unexpected. His hair kind of seemed messed up before he messed up again. This scene actually kind of creeps me out sometimes, just the singing and the destruction, repeated shots and all that. Thank you. This is really a great song. There. Really shows what the movie in it. It's a great movie. The Gojira is. This one's average, like I said. Aaron Burr gives a decent role, and everyone else is good. The dubbing is horrible. Horrible. And this Crusade swears Awa to use the Oxygen Destroyer against Godzilla. Don't really think Sarazawa's voice is that great either. Dramatic. Don't know, her crying seems kind of forced there. And now Godzilla is going to be killed. But is he? You can see his shadow against the thing there. I don't know if he's standing against the sky or against just the part of the boat. Of course, I think this part is a lot faster. Of course, they probably cut it down because this part is just 5 minutes of scuba diving. And while really nice and all, it's kind of slow and would probably bore people. See, they already reached the bottom there. This is a really great view of Godzilla just sleeping almost peacefully on the ocean floor. With really great music here. I'm just not talking because this is a really great scene in the movie. Instead of just this big old bang bang finale, it's a little somber scene just with them setting off the Oxygen Destroyer. Mm-hmm. Just really nice here. The water. And I always thought, would the oxygen destroyer penetrate the diving suits, or would he have to cut that to die? So I mean, it's like they're a rule against them. It can't go through rubber. They probably should have said that. Here's where people's voices change. I wonder why. Raymond Burr looks on. There's a little bit of quiet here. I've never noticed that. Well, it doesn't even show him set it off, it looks like. Oh, maybe. Yeah, it does. I don't know. I haven't watched King of the Monsters in a while. That's why I'm kind of like, oh. I mean, I saw Gojira just like this weekend, but I really haven't seen there's really not much to say about this scene. You know, it would have really sucked if the boat capsized here and the oxygen destroyer didn't work. How sad. Sarazawa, pull the line up. You know, they pull up his line really fast for him, you know, being a few hundred feet below the ocean surface. A few thousand, maybe, even. I don't know. The boat looks like it's about to capsize. Oh no. I don't think that would have been good. So it's the last shot of Godzilla. Ever. After this, they didn't make a single other movie. None ever came out after this, and never will be anymore. Because Godzilla's dead, right? I'm just kidding. Of course there's going to be more. Movie spawned 28 sequels, one extremely horrible remake, and recently Legendary Pictures announced they would be making a new Godzilla movie, and eventually. Which would be good, considering there hasn't been a movie since 2004. And Godzilla dissolves completely below the ocean surface. And the nightmare is over. Where is it? And they take out the line, can't believe that Godzilla was the last remaining kind of his species. But if we continue to conduct these nuclear tests, another Godzilla may appear somewhere in the world again. But instead, this has changed to a happier ending. East was gone, and so was a great man. The whole world can wake up and live again. But another Godzilla appeared like 6 months later, and after that, the rest was history. And here's the credits, that haven't been shown since, the movie's original American release. It's presented in the widescreen format for theaters. It was removed when the film was released on VHS. And this is actually taken from, one of the, I believe, Ed Godwazinski's personal print of the film. It's pretty weird with all the swirly colors in the background, I have to say. It's kind of weird. I don't even know how it suits the movie. But it's nice that we have this at the end of the movie. Tomoyuki Tanaka, the father of Godzilla. They're fictionist. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. I know, this movie actually happened. Have to be crazy not to think it didn't. I mean, just like that other what movie. This is real. Godzilla is real. And I hope you enjoyed my commentary. It's a lot better than I hope it turned out to be. I hope I did an okay job. I hope you liked it. I hope you found it okay. And I hope you stay tuned next time when I will do I have no idea what. Thanks for watching. This is Gojira84 signing off.